The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, good morning. I have in this bowl the most important thing that you can have, that you can receive on a retreat, on a vacation, on a time away. And I'd like to share it with you. Can I dump it out right here? Are you ready? There it is. What is it? It's nothing. That's correct. That sounds kind of weird, but this is the reason I share this. Because we get caught in our things. We get caught in all of our stuff. And we have our computer screens, and we have our TVs, and we have all of our toys even. And a lot of these things are not bad things unless they become the main thing. And I like to show you this because sometimes by having that time of nothing, we can realize that we have a whole lot when we set down everything, even our busy schedule, and just be for a moment. I hope that you can find a way then to make that every part of every day, of every week of your life, closing the computer screen, closing the iPad, closing everything down and simply being. Because when we are being, we realize that we already have everything we need. And we also realize that all of those things sometimes stop us from seeing who we truly are and the world around us and its beauty. Can you pray with me? Dear God, help me to appreciate and love when my things are away and I am just being in your wonderful world. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. And I want to talk to you guys a little bit about camp and how it relates to Martha and Mary. So we're going to have some pictures here. And by the way, we're also going to have a few pictures you can look at again during offering. But before I go into the pictures, I want to kind of tie it into the story today. Because I could probably preach on Mary and Martha and this scripture 10 different times in a row and have stories that hit on different areas of this. Because there's a lot to wonder about in this story. But today I want to take a simple idea that sometimes in this story we oversimplify it. What we do is we say, so Martha was caught in doing and Mary was being, and being was the better part. And there's something to that. But here's the problem. We need doers too. We need a whole lot of people doing. And Martha doing was not the problem. Martha, in this story though, was not focusing on what she was doing. She was focusing on what Mary was doing. And you see the difference. In our relationship with our own lives, with the people of God, with the world around us, there is always an I And there was always a we. And there is always a God who is with us. And finding that balance in our lives is so important. And I think that's a beautiful way to talk about confirmation camp, and indeed for all of us, retreat and Sabbath and time with God, because we need to find those balances in our lives. And sometimes the best way to balance our lives is to not be balanced. That's what actually happens at camp. You leave everything that's normal and have this little topsy-turvy place where you find out what really matters. So, through pictures, I'm going to tell you about Confirmation Camp at Rainbow Trail, but I want you to know, too, that Sky Ranch Confirmation Camp and their week at camp is coming up, and it's a very similar process. There's all these things that happen. Only the place changes, but the Spirit of God and the wilderness around us is just this wonderful place to sort of experience this, that emptiness that brings new life, this thing that reminds us that so many of the things that we place in our lives, though sometimes wonderful, they aren't wonderful if it's all we are. So I started with this picture. It's a journey that we took. This is actually the return journey when I had nobody but two kids in it, purposefully, because I wanted to show that. That's one of our campers, Caroline, and one of the counselors going back to the camp. You'll notice, though, the journey, where they are, this road that they're on, is not the most beautiful road. That kind of fits with a lot of our roads. We have those times in life that aren't. And yet it was. This moment here is a memory of a fire that blew through there 8 to 10 years ago. You may have remembered that Rainbow Trail, the lines of the fire went right up to the buildings. It was crazy how they didn't take away the buildings and everything else. And this area was totally swept up by the fire. I think it's amazing to look at because, A, you see all the destruction. You see the struggles. And you know that that's part of our world that we live in. We can see the parallels. You also see one tree that somehow survived it. And yet, that tree will never be the same, will it? And then what do you see? New life. New life all around. And it's not the same. And no, there are signs of the past, but there's a beginning of hope in that place. And I think we did a walk, the Stations of the Cross, as we walked to worship that morning through these areas. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Now, this is turning the other way from that area that was totally burned out. I want to point this out for a couple reasons. First of all, I want you to see the massive nature of that tree. Do you see the scale with the people in it? That is a big tree. That is not your typical little pine trees out in the woods. And it's stately. They actually have a name for it, and I wish I remembered it. I'm sorry I don't. But that tree was where we went to worship that morning. And in that burn, if you look in the background, there's burn around it too. How is it that this tree survived? Well, there's a couple reasons. There is a creek right there on the one side. And because of how far the other trees were from it, that made the firemen, all the fire personnel that came, they all wanted to make this a stand. This was their hope. And they built it around that. They found something to put their hopes in, and they built around that to make that happen. I think as a parallel to our own journey, sometimes we look at those things and say, this is where we can make a difference. And they did, and it's just so beautiful. And now we can go and worship there in the midst of all this destruction. This is where we are at camp. So go ahead and go to the next slide. So what is camp? When we experience that emptying out, what we also force upon you, and this is a picture of Alex with a couple others, what we force upon you is an awkwardness that fits the age too, right? Middle school is an awkward time, and what do? We make people who are trying to figure out their space work with others to the point where sometimes, I don't know, Alex, that's probably not the most comfortable moment. But at the same time, it's real, and they were struggling to solve a problem together. So there's this inherent awkwardness, but awkwardness in coming together, in experimenting with our I being connected with the we. Next slide. And I chose this slide partially because it wasn't our own kids, but somebody asked me to take this photo of them, and I thought to myself, well, if you want to talk about the awkwardness of middle school, this is it, right? But isn't it beautiful, too? It's the beauty of middle school. They are their own persons. They are discovering who they are and the gift of who they are and learning to love exactly who they are and allowing themselves to be goofy and stand out and be individuals still connected to the group. Go ahead. And there's our own kids doing the same thing, finding a way to walk together, sometimes apart a little bit, and sometimes with the group, next one. And then sometimes, even with the group, we realize that we can become in deep in thought, chances, opportunities to just be. And sometimes those moments take us to those places that we just want to be with our dogs. I remember a moment, Jonah, during times of thankfulness, they all said what they're thankful for, and Jonah says, and I'm thankful for camp dogs. And I know what you really meant too was I'm thankful for unconditional love that comes from them, and they're always there for us. To the next one. Just hanging out at camp, a couple of those shots that I put in here. Just being together. And sometimes those moments together remind us that we are putting ourselves in position to embrace one another, to overcome a task by realizing that the we is stronger. But this moment here, this is where I decided that I was going to do a sermon through pictures with you. Because this right here was High Ropes. And High Ropes at Rainbow Trail, they make sure it's not an individual experience. It's always a group one. Let me tell you about this element first. You'll notice the ropes that are kind of angled at the top. Those ropes, when they're angled like that, that means they're doing their job. Because what those ropes are there for is safety. Nothing more. When the ropes are doing that, they're not supporting them. They're actually kind of holding them back. But they're safety, right? If they would fall, those things would catch them. Well, they're walking across a bridge that's about 8 feet wide of suspended boards. And with that, the two people in the middle have nothing but the hands of the others to hold on to. The outside people have the wire and that rope. Here they are doing it perfectly because you'll notice those ropes are totally slanted. They're just there if they fall, and they are walking. And it was so neat to watch because it was outside people, step. Inside people, step, and always having two boards, they had a little bit of steadiness to themselves. They were going back and forth, doing so well. Gabriel, by the way, is on the end there, and everybody else in this is from different villages. But go to the next slide. Ah, so now something happened. It was right by the end. One girl on the end, second step from the end, she stopped listening. She stopped working with the group for just a moment. It's a mistake anybody would have made. I noticed from the very beginning that she had a nervousness, but the group was working with her, and she kept going. She got to the second step, and instead of just taking it to the next step, she dove trying to get to the end and fell back down. And there she is, stuck, because the slant went back up. She couldn't reach it. It was worse than normal. Things like this happen, but this one was worse than normal. Not in her safety, but how would we get her up? Next slide. And it got so bad, it was after about 20 minutes that another of the adult leaders that are trained in this came to help as well. And they started to finally push her up, but it was over and over again. Get your leg over, get your leg over. Oh, we thought she could do it. And there's a crowd of people, I didn't take another picture, of cheering her on and helping her, wishing her well, trying to get her to be built up. And in the midst of this, she's crying. She was. But she was safe. Let's remind ourselves of that. Next one. And in this picture, you see her. In the background, you can see the element that we had been on. That second to last one of those boards is where she was. This is her sliding down the zip line with them cheering her on at the end. But maybe most important is the next slide. And this is her being comforted by her counselor, appropriately named Faith. To me, this represented what it's all about. This was a sacred moment. I actually asked permission to take this photo because it was such an intimate moment. I didn't want to mess it up, but I also wanted to share it with you because in this moment, you see tears still. You see a hardness. But what you don't see in this alone, but I know, is later that evening when they did devotions, she talked about this moment being her high and her low of the whole week. It was the moment where she experienced this deep darkness and this moment of experiencing and overcoming this hardship in her life, this fake hardship in her life, right? That prepares us for so many other things. The gift of camp. To the next one. So I wanted to go back to this picture. This picture, by the way, I showed you that large tree earlier that the fire persons made their stand at. Well, if you were looking at this picture, that tree would be right behind you, And this is me looking out. And you'll notice there's a few trees that survived in that area. That's where they made that stand. But what struck me this time around was only one aspen made the stand, survived that fire. One aspen in this area survived, that one. And I thought about it, realizing what many of you realize, that aspen are actually one organism, that all of those trees together are connected underneath, and they're actually one large organism underneath. In fact, they say that the aspen grove is the largest organism on earth, bigger than whales and such, because they're so spread out, their root system. Well, I thought that was interesting to think about as the church, because in the midst of struggles and destruction, if that tree had feelings, if that tree had the ability to share what it experienced, it must have been a difficult time to look around and see everything changing so much and not for the better. But now look, you know what all those are on the lower part right there? Those are baby aspen trees. And if you looked around the area beyond that, there wasn't a lot of other areas that had that many aspens at that height yet, which tells me that the organism itself, the aspen grove, survived, and that one was able to help in some manner to get that entire grove to begin again. And so I'm imagining that all of those, not being a botanist, but all of those are connected together. And I thought about how that relates to the church, that I and we thing once again, that each of us are individuals, but we are so connected. If we could think of ourselves like those aspen groves, if Martha and Mary could think of themselves not just as individuals, and yet as individuals, but also as this together group that needs one another. To me, it represented camp, but it also represented church in our lives in Christ Jesus. Go ahead, go to the last one. On the last day of camp, I had the kids pick up pink rocks. There's a lot of different rocks around camp. I said, can you guys find the red, pinkish rocks as we walk up to the creek? And let's put into the rocks a heart in the ground, in the water. And I don't know if you can see it or not. It wasn't perfect, but if you look closely, there's a large heart in the water. And if you catch the light just right, it would shine greatly. It was really hard for the camera to catch it quite right. But I also realized, no, it wasn't perfect. In fact, as I looked at it more, and what I'm going to post on Facebook later today was, if you stare at it long enough, you might see the love that's inside of it. And I thought about that in our mission in the world and as we see the world around us. Aren't there so many things where if we just focus, let the Spirit of God be there, we can see that the love of God is there and that we can focus our energy to find a way to share that. My hope is that next week, some other camp group will come up to that stream right there, it's right by a bridge, and go, hey, well, look at that. And it might just be a little bit of a moment. That's all. But it's already a moment for us, knowing that we tried our best to share a little gift of love in a little simple way. As I go back to Mary and Martha, I think that's what it's about. How do we share God's love, whether it be through a casserole dinner or whatever it is? They probably weren't cooking casseroles back then, okay. But we know that those type of things were happening, that they were being hosts there, or whether it be simply sitting down at the feet of somebody that we love, listening to their story. This is who we are. This is how we come together as the church. Amen. Let's sing.